Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, The Creative Impetus, Chapter 12, Raugan Converses with Jad Bharat, Verse Number 9. Evam Niruktam Shiti Shabdavrittam. असन्निदानात् परमनावोये अविद्यया मनसा कल्पितास्ते येषां समूहेन कृतो विशेष एवं निरुक्तं शिति शब्दवृत्तम् असन्निदानात् परमानवो ये अविद्ययाय मनसा कल्पितास्ते येषां समूहेन कृतो विशेष एवं निरुक्तं शिति शब्दवृत्तम् असन्निदानात् परमानवो ये अविद्ययाय मनसा कल्पितास्ते येषां समूहेन कृतो विशेष एवं निरुक्तं शिति शब्दवृत्तम् अविद्यया मनसा कल्पितास्ते येषां समूहेन कृतो विशेष निरुक्तं शिति शब्दवृत्तम् सन्निदानात् परमानवो ये अविद्याय मनसा कल्पितास्ते येषां समूहेन कृतो विशेषः निरुक्तं शिति शब्दवृत्तम् असन्निदानात् परमानवो ये अविद्यया मनसा कल्पितास्ते येषां समूहेन कृतो विशेष श्रुतिशब्दवृत्तम् सन्निदानात् परमानवो ये अविद्ययाय मनसा कल्पितास्ते येषां समूहेन कृतो विशेष माताजी एवं दस निरुक्तम फॉल्सली डिस्क्राइब्ड शिति शब्द ऑफ द वर्ड अर्थ वृतम The existence, asat, not real, nidanat, from the dissolution, param anava, atomic particles, ye, all of which, avidyaya, because of less intelligence, manasa, in the mind, Kalpita, imagined, te, they, yesham, of which, samuhena, by the aggregate, krita, made, vishesha, the particulars. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. वन मे से दैट वराइटीज अराइज फ्रॉम द प्लैनेट अर्थ इट्सेल्फ हाउएवर ऑल्दो द यूनिवर्स मे टेम्पोररीली अपियर टू बी द ट्रूथ इट अल्टीमेटली हैज नो रियल एग्जिस्टेंस The earth was originally created by a combination of atomic particles, but these particles are impermanent. Actually, the atom is not the cause of the universe, although some philosophers think so. It is not a fact that the varieties found in this material world simply result from atomic juxtaposition. और कॉम्बिनेशन परपोर्ट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद दोज हु फॉलो द एटॉमिक थ्योरी थिंक दैट द प्रोटॉन्स एंड इलेक्ट्रॉन्स ऑफ एटम्स कंबाइन इन सच अ वे एज टू ब्रिंग ऑल मटेरियल एग्जिस्टेंस इनटू बीइंग हाउएवर द साइंटिस्ट fail to discover the cause of atomic existence itself. Under these circumstances, we cannot accept that the atom is the cause of the universe. Such theories are advanced by unintelligent people. According to real intelligence, the real cause of the cosmic manifestation is the Supreme Lord. जन्म आदि अस्य अतः ही इज द ओरिजिनल कॉज ऑफ ऑल क्रिएशन एज स्टेटेड इन भगवद्गीता 10.8 अहम सर्वस्य प्रभवो मथ सर्वं प्रवर्तते कृष्णा इज द ओरिजिनल कॉज सर्व कारण कारणम ही इज द कॉज ऑफ ऑल कॉजेस कृष्णा इज द कॉज ऑफ एटम्स द मटेरियल एनर्जी भूमि रपो अनलो वायु खम मनो बुद्धिरेव च अहंकार इतियम मे भिन्न प्रकृति अष्टदा भगवद्गीता 7.4 द अल्टीमेट कॉज इज द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड एंड ओनली दोज इन इग्नोरेंस ट्राई टू फाइंड आउट अदर कॉजेस बाय पोजिंग डिफरेंट थेरीज ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम अज्ञान्तिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षून्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमः ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 12, Verse Number 9. Translation. One may say that varieties arise from the planet Earth itself. However, although the universe may temporarily appear to be the truth, It ultimately has no real existence. The earth was originally created by a combination of atomic particles, but these particles are impermanent. Actually, the atom is not the cause of the universe, although some philosophers think so, it is not a fact that the varieties found in this material world simply result from atomic juxtaposition or combination. Hare Krishna. So, Jad Bharat, he is explaining a very important point in the spiritual knowledge. And this is much more important in today's society, because in today's society, modern science has spread this theory that everything is atoms and molecules. A student of school and college, for years and years he studies this theory of atoms. So this creation, the manifested world, what we see, matter, is into many varieties. Even though the elements, there are 24 elements, out of which the 8 elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, they are finite in number, but they give rise to almost unlimited varieties. We see this microphone, this table, this stool, this cloth. There are so many varieties of objects, so many varieties of objective experiences we have. So, generally, an intellectual mind would think, what is the cause of these varieties? What is the cause of this matter? What is the cause of these elements? What is the cause of these atomic particles? That is how a person does analysis of creation. So it may be said that this planet Earth itself is the cause of varieties. All the varieties come out of this planet Earth, and all the matter is made up of atoms. This is called Parmanuvad, one of the 6 ancient philosophies is Parmanuvad, the theory of atomic particles, given by the sage Kanad. It is said that Kan means grains. So it is said that once the sage Kanad, as a small boy, he went with his father to Ganges to take bath. And all the pilgrims who had come there to take bath, they would offer rice grains and throw them and then go to Ganges water to take bath. So this boy, instead of going with the pilgrims to take bath in Ganges, he started collecting those grains from the ground. The rice grains, one by one, he started collecting. So the people who were passing by, they got curious that who is this boy who is collecting thrown grains? Since years people are coming to Ganges and throwing rice grains, but nobody ever saw anybody collecting these grains. This first time pilgrim saw some boy collecting grains. So a big crowd gathered there. This is how the public works. If you do something on the road which is unusual, a big crowd will gather. So many dogs bark, not big thing, but if one of us go and bark, then a big crowd will gather. Chamatkar, chamatkar, barking, barking. So they all gathered to see who, curiosity, who is this boy. So one rishi also passed there. And he saw, what is this? Instead of taking bath, people are gathering in a crowd. What is happening? So he saw this boy taking grains. And everybody was laughing on that boy. They were saying, even the beggars will not collect these grains. Then why this boy is collecting? So when asked, the boy, that even beggars will not collect, why are you collecting? He felt little insulted because he was considered less than a beggar. And he said, if one grain is collected, then after some time, it becomes meal for a person. And if more is collected, it becomes meal for a village. So every single grain is important. And seeing his philosophical bent, he was named Kannad at that time. And he continued his observation of small objects. And once when he was eating grains, he started breaking the grains into small pieces and eating. When finally physically he couldn't break anymore, he got the inspiration of Parmanuvad, that every matter consists of small atoms which are indivisible, which cannot be broken any further. The final particle, which are indivisible and invisible, they are called Parmanus, atoms. Even today's modern science proposes the similar theory of atoms. When I was studying my school science, we studied this theory of atoms. The indivisible smallest particle of matter is called atom. Cannot be splitted further. Cannot be divided further. But the next chapter we studied fundamental particles. That atom, yes, can be divided further. What a joke, you know. And they are called electrons, protons and neutrons. And these are fundamental particles. These cannot be divided further. Then you know what happened? Then quarks, leptons, fermions, bosons. The physicists found so many fundamental particles, they stopped using the word fundamental. Now they use it elementary particles. Hundreds of fundamental particles they found. So they think the whole world can be explained based on theory of electrons. The movement of electrons, the protons and the neutrons. If you want to study water, very easy. Just break it into fundamental particles. First you get a molecule called H2O. Then you get two atoms of hydrogen, one atom of oxygen. Hydrogen contains this, how many electrons hydrogen contains? 2 electrons. Oxygen contains 8. At the last, those who know science. And there you know hydrogen, you know oxygen, so you know H2O, so you know water. You may not have drank water anytime, that's fine, but you know H2O, so you know water. But this is not the way truth is to be understood. This is quite weird way to understand the world. Because we are not just electrons. These objects are not just electrons or atoms. There is some other characteristic property. I'll tell you one story. This is 30, 40 years before. There was one electrical engineer in Bombay. He passed out his BE with distinction. So he got a very nice job. So he rented a flat and purchased all the modern appliances, got a bike and all. So he thought, since I am settled now, I should call my family from the village. So he called his family, his young wife and a small 5-year-old son was there. So he called them, they arrived in Mumbai and he took them to his new flat. So there he had purchased a television. At that time the technology of television was newly coming in India. So his family arrived, it was Sunday evening. Anybody knows what used to happen in Sunday evening? On the box, they used to show free Bollywood cinema, free Hindi movie you can see. Actually it's not free, but people think it's free. So some movie was going on, Hindi song was going on, there was one garden, and there was one tree, and there was a hero, and there was a heroine, and they were running around the tree. So his young wife, she saw it, she was so attracted, nice, and she was sitting and watching it, entertainment. And his 5-year-old son, when he saw that scene, he asked his father. He said, "Papa, what is this uncle and auntie doing in the box?" So his father, he thought, "Oh, this is too much. I am an electrical engineer and my son is asking such nonsense questions. He will spoil my name in my friends." So he took his son behind the television box. He opened the box with a screwdriver and he explained him, "Look son, this is not uncle and auntie. There is nobody in the box. This is PCB, this is anode, this is cathode, this is resistor, transistor, capacitor, bus, wires, anode gun, electrons are fired, captured on CRT screen. So whatever you see is just electrons. They are not uncle and auntie." So we don't know whether the son understood or not. That is how lectures are given. We don't know the students understand or not. So then he closed the box. He said, "Papa, I have one more question." He said, "Yes, son." He said, "Why this one electron running after another electron?" Now we all know, two electrons, they get attracted or repelled to each other. They get repelled to each other, same charge. But here we see they are getting attracted to each other. So if we reduce everything to fundamental particles, many things in life we cannot explain. This attraction between boy and girl we cannot explain. We can't ask the question why one electron is getting angry on another electron. So this modern way of making things so-called simpler, by doing that, actually the truth skips our fingers. Lots of truth, forget about absolute truth. Even other truth skips our fingers, we come to very small aspect of material nature. So that is not the way we can actually understand truth. And then these physicists, they are going more and more forward to find out fundamental particles. so much more truth will skip their fingers. And you must have heard recently they found the God particle, Higgs boson. If you read, you will come to know that particle doesn't has any charge, doesn't has any spin. And the life duration of that particle is 1.6 into 10 raised to minus 22 seconds. That means 1 second you divide into 1 followed by 22 zeros. That's minute time is our God. So there is nothing meaning, no meaning to such thing. And they claim that this particular particle gives mass to all other particles in the universe. And if you understand this particle, we will understand all the matter in the universe. But the twist in the story is, scientists say there is something called dark matter, which they don't know what it is. That's why it's called dark matter. And 84% of the universe is made out of dark matter. So 84% of matter they don't understand, because they can't observe. Only 16% they claim to understand. I don't want to go into science lecture. So this way of understanding even matter would not yield truth. Kannada, when he gave this Parmanu Vad, he said these atoms are building blocks of objects, but the combination of atoms and the characteristic property of atoms is governed by super soul, Paramatma. And we have it in Brahma Samhita. What is that? Andhastrastu. So Govinda, Lord Brahma says, he is there even in Parmanu, even in atoms. And that is how the atoms get energy, that is how the atoms combine together to form objects. But the modern scientists, they picked up half the theory. They picked up the atoms and they left Govinda behind. They did minus. And that is how the whole theory fails. Atoms, even though considered the building blocks of matter, they are not independent to act. The cause of this atomic combination is also Krishna. So even material objects are created and caused by Krishna, and more so ever, life, which is not matter, is also caused by Krishna. Modern science does not study life. The physics, chemistry, electronics, they don't study life. And biology also does not study life. Life is soul, consciousness, and no subject of modern science studies soul. Even biology or medical does not study. But our scriptures, they start by studying life. The first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam starts with Janma Adi Asya Yataha, that everything is emanating from Krishna, the first life. First, not in the sense of creation, he is the origin. Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchidanand Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Prabhupada very often phrased this as life comes from life. That any life form which we observe or exist cannot come from matter. It comes from another life form. And Srila Prabhupada said that if we can prove to the scientists that life comes from life, then we can show empirically that Vedic knowledge is bona fide, then the scientists will be forced to study soul and forced to study Krishna. But the most damaging theory of the scientists in the present world is life comes from matter. They call it chemical evolution. There is one very famous chemist, Nobel Prize winner, Stanley Miller. You heard Miller's experiment? He synthesized proteins and amino acids, claiming that these are building blocks of life, and he got a Nobel Prize for that. This is in 1970s. Then Mr. Miller, he went to all the universities explaining his theory. So in California University, when he gave a lecture, His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Swami Maharaj was also attending that lecture. So at the end, when there were question and answers, Maharaj was already being trained by Srila Prabhupada. So he asked Stanley Miller that you say these chemicals formed life. So if I give you all the chemicals ready-made, can you make life? If you say chemicals make life, then I'll give you chemicals, you make life. He said, no, I can't do that. And when Maharaj told this to Srila Prabhupada, he was so happy that my disciple has challenged this rascal scientist. Prabhupada narrated this story to anybody and everybody he met after that, in his lectures, in his conversations, and he called Miller a cheater. And the beauty is, this was in 1970. 40 years have passed. Up till now, this experiment, no use, nothing has been followed up. Prabhupada said, a chicken is a better scientist, at least it lays eggs. What does a scientist do? Can't even create an ant, can't even create a reef, can't even create a grain of rice in the laboratory, can't even create a living cell. In fact, during his final pastimes, Srila Prabhupada again requested Maharaj to make a scientific conference to attract the scientists all over the world. And at that time there was a discussion of what should be the name of the conference. And Srila Prabhupada himself suggested the name of the conference should be Life Comes From Life. And this conference was organized in Vrindavan, in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And so many scientists from Agra, Mathura and Delhi, they came and they participated. Even though Prabhupada was so ill, he was on the bed, but every 1 hour he would call Maharaj and ask him, how is the conference going on? Did all the scientists got room? Did they got prasad? What did they spoke? What did you speak? What questions they asked? At that time Prabhupada was not active in ISKCON management, being ill, but every few hours he would ask them. And at the end of the conference, Prabhupada called all the leading disciples who organized the conference. 6 disciples were there. And they were all in pant shirt, 3-piece suit. And when they came to Prabhupada's room, his own disciples, Prabhupada called for chairs. So Maharaj told, no, no, Prabhupada, we can sit down. He said, no, no, you are scientists, you should sit on chairs. And Prabhupada very detailed asked them how the conference went. And Prabhupada was very happy to know that ISKCON also has an opportunity to preach to this scientist. And there are 2 theories which Prabhupada wanted Bhaktivedanta Institute to very aggressively and boldly oppose. 2 misleading, cheating theories. The first is life comes from matter. And the second is Darwin's theory. Prabhupada said, if we prove them that these 2 theories are wrong, we have won the battle. Because by these two theories, so many problems are happening in this world. Because life is compared to matter, so people don't value each other. It's just like matter. We don't value objects when they become old or when they get damaged. So, it was a very important historical event in the modern science as well as in ISKCON when this first Life Comes From Life conference was organized in Vrindavan Dham. And our understanding of the creation is that the cause of creation is supreme life, that is Krishna. And if we can propose this to the scientist, then they will study Srimad Bhagavatam. That was what Prabhupada's plan is. So when we preach to scientific communities, we should always discuss this point. A. Life comes from life, and B. Darwin's theory. And I will not go into Darwin's theory. Prabhupada said Darwin's father might be monkey, but my father was not monkey. So there is quite interesting discussions there. So Jad Bharat, he is saying that there are some foolish philosophers who think the cause of this material manifestation is atoms. But that is not true. The cause of this material manifestation, even he is saying somebody should ask the cause of atoms also. And the cause of atoms, the cause of this material manifestation, the cause of this 24 elements is Lord Shri Krishna. Lord Shri Krishna in his first Purusha incarnation, Mahavishnu, he glances over Prakriti. And that is how the material manifestation occurs. Just like an unintelligent person may think a mother is the cause of the child. But we should know that the seed is given by the father in the womb of the mother, and that seed develops a body, and that is how a child is born. Without the seed-giving father, even a fertile mother cannot create a child, cannot deliver a child, cannot conceive a child. In the same way, when Mahavishnu glances on Mahatattva, on Prakriti, and that is how the Prakriti gets agitated, and then the creation happens. And Mahavishnu, actually Prabhupada Rai, doesn't require Prakriti to create. When Mahavishnu creates the universes, he just exhales out and the bubbles are formed. So as compared to the eternal spiritual world, these bubbles are just temporary. For us, our life and our multiple life is too huge. But actually it's just a flash of lightning as compared to eternity. So practically speaking, these bubbles are not existing. These universes don't exist. They exist as much as we give importance to bubbles in the water. They actually don't exist. But the bubbles is proof that there is something behind it. If there are bubbles in water, that means air exists. Water anyway exists. Bubbles, suppose we see the ocean, what we see is the waves. What is waves? Anybody can define what is waves? Water, that's all. But actually when you see waves, what actually you see is the wind. The movement of wind produces waves. Waves is not water, waves is wind. Water is there. Wind is moving and we see waves. So waves is effect of water. Sorry. Waves is effect of wind. So waves is nothing but wind. Similarly, this material universe is effect of some cause. Like waves is effect of wind on water. So this material universe is effect of some cause, and that cause is Mahavishnu. He is the one who glances, and he is the one who creates these universes, and he is the one who enters into the universe for further creation as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and he makes the first living entity who is Brahma. And Prabhupada writes, Mahavishnu does not take help of Lakshmi to create the first living entity, Brahma. Out of his own energy and out of his own sweet will, a lotus flower comes out of the navel of Lord Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Brahma appears on the whirl of the lotus flower. So Krishna is completely independent in his creation. And Krishna is the cause of this Purusha avatars. There is one very nice episode in Srimad Bhagavatam that happened in Dwarka. Once in Dwarka, one Brahmana, his wife gave birth to a child and immediately that son died. So the Brahmana was so upset, he went to the palace of King Ugrasen and he spoke very ill about King Ugrasen. That this King Ugrasen is greedy, sense gratifier, envious to Brahmana's Chhatra Bandhu. Because of him my son died. See, Vedic culture is so nice that if some calamity, unnatural calamity happens in the life of some pious living entity, citizen, then it is actually because of the sinful activity of the king. So he chastised and he spoke so much ill words to Ugrasen, but because he was a Brahmana, so Krishna, Balram, Ugrasen, they didn't spoke anything to him. Like this, I think 8 times his son, as soon as was born, died. And all the 8 times he came to King Ugrasen and spoke ill about him. So at the 8th time when he was doing that, Arjuna was visiting Dwarka. So when he heard this, he felt compassion towards that Brahmana. He said, "My dear Brahmana, why are you speaking like this? Is there no Kshatriya in Dwarka who can help you? Okay, if there is no actual Kshatriya, is there no pretender Kshatriya who can just show bow and arrow and help you?" And the Brahmana said, no, nobody has helped me. 8 sons of mine have died." Then Arjuna said, "I will help you. Your next delivery I will protect. Even Yamraj cannot kill your son. I will be there." Then Brahmana said, "Come on, Krishna cannot do, Balram cannot do, you small boy can do." Then Arjuna said, "Don't worry, I have Gandiva. Nobody else has Gandiva in Dwarka. I will protect your son. When the delivery happens, you call me." So in this way he promised the Brahmana and the Brahmana left. So after a few months, when his wife was about to deliver, he called Arjuna. At that time it is explained, Arjuna prayed to Lord Shiva, thinking that Krishna couldn't do earlier, I'll take help of Shiva. He prayed Lord Shiva and he invoked Pashupat Astra and he covered the whole maternity room with his arrows. Not even air can't go inside without the permission of Arjuna. Up, down, left, right, top, bottom, everywhere he covered with arrows. And he was standing outside the maternity room and then the wife delivered the baby. The baby cried and disappeared. And the Brahmana started crying and he started chastising Arjuna that I was a fool to depend on you, fool. When nobody in Dwarka can help me, I thought you will help me. And Arjuna had promised to Brahmana that if I can't protect your child, I will burn in fire. I will commit suicide. So immediately Arjuna went to all the planets. He went to Brahma Loka, he went to Yamra Loka, he went to Indra Loka, he went to Pata Loka, everywhere he went to search for this child. Even Yamraj he went, he said, "Look, this boy just now died, is he here?" Yamraj said, "I don't know. He didn't come here." Indra said, "I don't know." Pata Lok said, "I don't know." Brahma Lok said, "I don't know." Shiv Lok he didn't went. He thought Shiv will not do this. So he went everywhere but he couldn't find the son of the Brahmana. So finally he came and he burned the fire, and when he was about to jump in fire, Dwarkadish came there. And Krishna said, "Look, don't do this. I will take you. Come with me." And he brought his chariot and they took the long journey and they went outside the universe. Towards north they crossed not only our planets, they crossed the universal boundaries made of earth, water, fire, air, ether, big, big boundaries, 10 times bigger than each. And finally they came outside the universe. It was full dark. With Sudarshan Chakra, Krishna made the whole place illuminating. And then they went to Shir Sagar, the causal ocean. Such a big ocean, they went inside and they saw a very big palace made of gold and nice beautiful marble and nice pillars, thousands of pillars with diamonds and all. And Arjuna was surprised to see such a big magnificent palace. And inside they saw Lord Mahavishnu, very big, huge, gigantic form of Lord Mahavishnu resting on very big, beautiful Anansesh, white colored Anansesh, very soft. And then Krishna and Arjuna, Krishna offered his obeisances to Mahavishnu. Arjuna also offered his obeisances to Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu praised Arjuna and Krishna and he said, I wanted to see you both. That's why I am the one who took the son of the Brahmana. And Krishna said, please give it back. And all the 9 sons which Mahavishnu had stolen, kidnapped, he gave it back. And Arjuna was surprised. And then they brought all the 9 sons in the baby form and they gave it to the Brahmana. So Arjuna asked, what is this mystery? Why did he kidnap the sons? Is it good to give trouble to a Brahmana like this? Krishna, namo Brahmana devaya go Brahmana itaya cha. Why will Krishna, Mahavishnu give trouble to Brahmanas? So Krishna said, he stole this because he wanted to take my darshan. He said, then why did he personally come and steal? He could have sent his associates to steal. Krishna said, nobody can touch my devotees in Dwarka. Only Mahavishnu could touch. That's why he could personally come and steal. He said, if he all the way came to Dwarka to steal, instead of stealing, he could have just taken your darshan. He said, I didn't give appointment. So Krishna is the supreme cause of even Lord Mahavishnu. Even Mahavishnu is waiting for his darshan. And the scientists and unintelligent people think that these atoms are the cause of this universe. As I said, the atoms are generated from the body of Mahavishnu. This material prakriti is agitated by the glands of Mahavishnu. So this is the highest philosophy. That sarva karana karanam. Krishna is the cause of all causes. And this is not an ordinary statement. This is one of a very big siddhanta of our Bhagavatam. That the origin of everything is Krishna. That's why he is God. That's why he is to be worshipped. Nobody else is to be worshipped. He is the cause of matter. He is the cause of living entities. He is the source of material and spiritual world. Aham sarvasa prabhavo. I am the origin of everything. The material and the spiritual worlds. And knowing this, the great sages worship Krishna. Understanding Krishna to be the cause of all causes, the supreme personality of Godhead, one should engage in his worship. One should become his servant and nobody's servant. And that is basis of devotional service. If the jivas and the Ishvara, Krishna and jiva are same, then there is nothing called service. If there is inequality, he is superior, we are inferior, then there is something called master and servant, then there is service. So this is very important which Jadbharat is explaining, and further we will see more he is explaining that how one can realize this only by the association of devotees. We'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna. If there are any questions or comments, we may take.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Mind is much discussed throughout this episode of Bharat Maharaj. So, where does the mind is located in our body? I discuss with few devotees. Somebody says it is located in the brain, in the head. Somebody said it is living outside the body, in the surrounding of our body. So where the mind is located?
Mind is everywhere in the body. So you got so many answers, you take one more. Mind is subtle, body is everywhere. Just like life airs, airs are everywhere in the body. Water is everywhere in the body. Sound is everywhere in the body. Fire is everywhere in the body. These are just gross elements. So this is subtle, mind, everywhere in the body.
So your answer is correct. And second one is...
Oh, you were testing me.
No. Convincing.
Taking interview. Anyway.
Then intelligence, what we discuss in the subtle body, that intelligence must be different from the intelligence of the brain, like IIT people and MBA people, they are more intelligent, but they are brain-wise intelligent, and that intelligence must be different.
One is intelligence, another is non-intelligence, or in other words, idiot. Just having some analytical or mathematical ability is not called intelligence. Otherwise, calculator will be more intelligent. Intelligent means discrimination between good and bad.
Vivek Buddhi.
Somebody who is PhD in IIT, smokes cigarette, he is unintelligent. Because he cannot distinguish between good and bad. Right? So it's called Idiots Institute of Technology. I studied there, IIT. So intelligent means to be able to discriminate between good and bad, illusion and reality, spirit and matter. That is intelligence. Everything else is analytical capability. That is not called intelligence.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, as we heard from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is one verse, Krishna haya surya shama maya haya andhakar, jaha Krishna taha nahi mahara adhika. In the Brahma Samhita, Brahma said, andhantarastam paramam chayantarastam. God is everywhere. In the atom also. So it is like, appear like contradictory. How both are can exist together?
God is everywhere. That is true. Maya is there where God is not there. That is also true. I'll give an example. Is there light in the room? Wherever there is light, there is no darkness. Is there light in this room? Yes or no? Light is there. Darkness is there. Close your eyes. If you close your eyes, what you see is darkness. Where is darkness in this room? It's inside us. So where is Maya? It's inside us. It's not outside.
Thank you.
So when we close our eyes to light, we come in darkness. So darkness is absence of light. So when we close our senses or our experiences or our consciousness to Krishna, we come in Maya. So Maya is absence of Krishna consciousness. It is not an object. Darkness is not an object. Maya is absence of Krishna. So where there is Krishna, there is no Maya. But if I am not Krishna conscious, then whole world is Maya. Okay?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Where should a devotee carry Krishna? Within his heart, within his mind, or on his head?
Krishna will carry us. Who are we to carry Krishna? Krishna is already there in our heart as Paramatma, in the region where the soul is there. It's not for us to carry. But we carry the process of bhakti on our head as servant. We are servants of Krishna. Where is the master? Master's feet is on our head. We are servant or servant or servant of Krishna. Right? So we should keep his words, his instructions on our head. But he is there in Paramatma in the region of the heart. Okay? Mind has nothing to do with this.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guruji. Thank you very much for the wonderful scientific you explain about how God is existed in everywhere. Guruji, my question is, this bhumirapanolovayukhammanobuddhihevacha, man buddhi, is with particle of soul. So, when soul is living from this body, this intelligence is and mind, how if death, both things are also material, if they live over here only, and soul and spirit go to the spiritual world. So in front of Krishna, if he wanted to serve, he also needs some intelligence and mind. So how that spirit, he get intelligence and mind to serve continuously forever?
See, a liberated soul develops spiritual body. Spiritual body has spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, spiritual nose, spiritual tongue, spiritual skin, spiritual mind, spiritual intelligence and real ego. So he sees Krishna with spiritual eyes, he hears Krishna with spiritual ears, he tastes Mahaprasada with spiritual tongue, and he has spiritual mind to think of Krishna, spiritual intelligence to do his service. So here we have perverted reflection of material, what is called material elements. There are spiritual elements, Satchidananda. So he has spiritual mind and spiritual intelligence there, Satchidananda, and utilizes them to serve Krishna. We should not say he himself is a spiritual body. So the spiritual mind, spiritual intelligence is there with the soul. Even now they are there, but they are covered. So in liberation they get uncovered. Like a small baby in the womb of the mother has eyes, ears, nose, everything. But they are not yet covered, they are manifested. Womb is covering them. But gradually they are manifested. When he comes out, the senses are active. So we are in a small form, compact form. As we become liberated, they get uncovered. Okay? Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
मैं हिंदी में बोल रहा हूँ चले ये Prabhuji ये अर्जुन सब कुछ जानता था एक ग्रह से दूसरे ग्रह सब जगह जाता था फिर भी इन्होंने तकलीफ क्यों पाई इतना सब कुछ हुआ
कौन सा तकलीफ
ये मतलब वन में जाना जुआ हारना जैसे मतलब कई तरह का से इन्होंने तकलीफें पाई
अर्जुन ड्रामा कर रहा था भगवान कृष्ण चाहते थे ये सब हो ताकि युद्ध आए युद्ध हो और युद्ध में इतने सारे असुर जमा हो जाए और वो मारे जाए भगवान कृष्णा आए थे इस पृथ्वी पर असुरों को मारने के लिए तो वृंदावन में रोज एक एक असुर को मारते थे पूतना को तृणाव्रत को इसको मथुरा आए कंस को मारा जरासंध को मारा इसको मारा लेकिन असुर तो करोड़ों थे अभी होलसेल में मारना जरूरी था इसलिए उन्हें महाभारत का युद्ध आयोजित किया फिर उधर 18 दिन में 640 लाख असुर मारे गए असुर मतलब बहुत दूसरे भी भक्त मारे गए लाखों लोगों को मारा उन्होंने तो भगवान कृष्ण ने पांडवों को अपने माया के अनुसार ऐसा लीला रचा कि वो सब धर्म का पालन करते हुए भी धर्म युद्ध में आ जाए और वहां पर उन्होंने भगवद गीता कहा ताकि हमको ज्ञान मिले तो ये सब भगवान का आयोजन था ऐसा नहीं कि अर्जुन का बुद्धि खराब हो गया था या युधिष्ठिर महाराज जुआ खेले अधर्म किया ये सब भगवान का आयोजन था हमको सिखाने के लिए भगवान अपने भक्तों को कष्ट देते हैं हमको सिखाने के लिए ठीक है हरे कृष्णा हाँ
गुरु जी
हरे कृष्णा
गुरु जी प्रणाम
हरे कृष्णा
जय श्री कृष्णा मेरा नाम है हरि विलास सिंह यादव मैं वाराणसी के पास कराने वाला हूँ मैं एक क्वेश्चन मेरे मन में एराइज होता है मैं बहुत लोगों से पूछा भी मगर इससे मुझे जवाब नहीं मिला इफ मुझे माफ कर दीजिएगा दैट इज क्वेश्चन इज वेरी सिली आंसर आई डोंट नो दैट इज व्हाट एवर कैन यू टेल मी सर गुरुजी व्हाई द कृष्णा लॉर्ड कृष्णा शिफ्टेड फ्रॉम मथुरा टू द्वारिका
भगवान से पूछा जाए तो पता है क्या बोलेंगे मेरी मर्जी भगवान को क्यों वाय पूछना उनकी मर्जी एक्चुअली भगवान गए क्योंकि रुक्मिणी देवी का लेटर आने वाला था और रुक्मिणी देवी को परेशानी थी विदर्भ में उसका जबरदस्त शादी हो रहा था तो भगवान से जरासंध को तो बाद में भी देख लेंगे पहले शादी कर देते हैं फिर वो द्वारका गए रणछोड़ कहलाए लेकिन सिर्फ इसके लिए ताकि वो रुक्मिणी देवी के पत्र का जवाब दे सके और जाकर रुक्मिणी देवी को शिशुपाल से बचा सके मेन कारण था रुक्मिणी देवी को बचाने का तो शिशुपाल जबरदस्त शादी कर रहा था उनसे लक्ष्मी स्वयं है लक्ष्मी का शादी शिशुपाल से हो जाए तो बड़ा अनर्थ हो जाएगा, तो भगवान इसके लिए गए थे। ठीक है, भगवान भक्तों को बचाने के लिए अपना नाम भी खराब कर देते हैं। ओके, विल एंड हियर। थैंक यू वेरी मच। श्रीमद् भागवतम की, श्रील प्रभुपाद की। हरे कृष्ण, हरे कृष्ण।